The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is the return of producer number 9, so much more than a producer, Kelly Bidlin, back from vacation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, man? Good to be back.
I'm doing great. Wyatt Tomchek did a great job while you were
gone.
Sure,
he did.
He did. It was great having him. Glad to see your face, though, man. How was your trip?
Thanks, man. It was great. It was great. It was refreshing. Good to get out of town for a bit. See some people. It was good, man.
We had the LoJack on you. Austin, Texas, L.A.
Austin, Texas, L.A. was around. Was in town using some comps here for in the middle of the week last week, so that was good. Little Resorts World, stayed there for a couple nights.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Little staycation,
yeah. Bounced around. It was all over the place.
Bidlin, doing vacation
right. Austin was awesome, though. Austin is great. Great city, Austin. I had a lot of fun.
It's good. This just in. Secret, Austin. It's
hotter
awesome.
Than hell, though, Gil. Hotter than hell.
A little humidity there.
Yeah, like this. Yeah. It's like Vegas, Miami combined for the worst possible things.
I prefer humidity over this dry heat.
It was like 99, 100 degrees with I don't know what percentage humidity. Like I was so sweaty, it was disgusting.
It is July 1st, and as almost a tribute to July, we have two guests. We have Mark Borchardt on baseball. We have Dallin Cuff on soccer. Everybody else told us to go kick rocks. So Kelly and I, but we have plenty to talk about, beginning with baseball. Obviously, we're going to get to this this June bet momentarily. Later on the show, I'll have the most wins in the month of July, my pick for the most wins in the month of July. Wimbledon plays that remain coming up as well, Wimbledon futures, whole bunch to talk about. We do begin, though, with a big congratulations from me to everybody who rode along, and it was a lot of you, on the Houston Astros most wins market for the month of June. Mazel tov to us all. We deserve it.
Yeah, you
after
do.
What we went through a couple months ago, particularly. One out away from cashing a 65-1 on the Guardians. Falling two games shy on the Guardians in May at 16-1. But the Astros at 25-1. At William Hill Caesars ends up dead heating with the Orioles, but it's an outright win at Circa at 17-1. What a day yesterday was, Kelly. What a weekend it was. The weekend started. Wyatt and I talked about this Friday. Weekend started with, okay, if the Astros go 3-0, we win at Circa. At worst, it's a dead heat at William Hill Caesars. But if they go 1-2 or 0-3, we're out. We're done against the Mets, who, by the way, these same exact scenarios applied to the Mets going into the weekend. If the Astros ended up going 2-1, that's where it got interesting. Because at that point, then the Dodgers and the Orioles couldn't do better than 2-1. Neither could sweep. And then you had five other teams that, if they went 3-0, would participate in a dead heat as well. Talking about the Red Sox, the Mariners, the Brewers, the Diamondbacks, and the Cardinals. And good God, if you dead heat but with more than one team, what's even the point of any of it? It's just so egregious. So what happens Friday night? This is how it starts. The Astros go out, leave 14 men on base, go 2 of 14 with runners in scoring position. Bregman boots a ball, 3 unearned runs on a McNeil home run. They get smoked by the Mets, had every opportunity in the world. And I'm thinking to myself, self, this cannot be happening again. How do you have 14 men on base, 2 of 14 runners in scoring position? Worst possible timing for that kind of night. And so our proverbial back was against the wall right from Friday night on. Silver lining of the night was quietly, while that was happening, the D-backs lost, the Red Sox lost, the Dodgers lost. So a couple of the dead heaters sort of sloughed off. Next day, Framber Valdez is on the mound. And he just has a meltdown. And the Mets go out to a 5-1 lead after 2, 6-1 after 3. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, maybe it's just the Mets month. We gave it another good run that's going to fall short. But it was early in the game, right? It was early, so there was still plenty of time to come back. And come back the Astros did. 3 in the 4th, 3 in the 8th on a series of spectacular at-bats by the Astros, culminating with Alex Bregman atoning for his sin the previous night with the boot. He just has this unbelievable at-bat where he fights back from 0-2, an 0-2 count, and ends up with the 2 RBI single, turning a 6-5 deficit into a 7-6 Astros lead, and they go on to win it 9-6. And suddenly, we are off life support. and there is life. And then also quietly, Mariners lose, Brewers lose, Cardinals lose. So all the dead heaters are sloughing off again on a second consecutive day, with one notable exception, two notable exceptions. One, the Dodgers, who the Giants were about to beat again, bases loaded, one out in a tie game in extra innings, but then the Giants struck out and then fouled out, and then the Dodgers just made them pay for it with a touchdown in the top of the 11th and won it 14-7. And the even more notable exception was the Orioles just absolutely staved off the Rangers, held on for dear life, won that game. So the Orioles were the only team of all the teams I mentioned through Saturday that went 2-0. What did that mean? That meant that going into Sunday, it was very clear. We needed an Astros win and an Orioles loss to win outright at Circa, to have a dead heat at William Hill Caesars. Only the Dodgers could have participated in the dead heat as well if they beat the Giants on Sunday. And the way it was laid out, Kelly, was perfect in terms of the schedule, which we could not have anticipated, which was Astros Mets in the morning,
right?
Giants Dodgers as a sort of lunchtime game in the middle, and then the Orioles and the Rangers happened to be Sunday night baseball.
Well, that was perfect setup. You could possibly hedge later or something. Who knows?
So I'm not a hedger by nature, but I thought to myself, okay, well, I have a couple opportunities to think about a hedge during this day. All right, game starts.
Great plan going into the day.
Great plan. By the way, on Friday, I also mentioned at the end of the segment with Wyatt, I'm like, oh, by the way, there's a little rain in the forecast for Sunday. Just keep an eye on that.
Right, yeah.
All right, so first thing happens, the Mets put out kind of a semi-fakakta lineup. Yiddish. It's not really their best lineup, 5-8. So I'm like, well, I'm not hedging here. I'm not going to do that against a fakakta lineup. Astros go up 4-0, and we're like, okay, this is awesome. Mets get 2 in the 6th, then 2 in the 7th on a 2-out, 0-2 pitch. Brandon Nimmo parks a 2-run homer, and it's 4-4. And I'm like, this cannot be happening again. Come on! Come on, gambling gods. Come on. We deserve this. 4-4, middle of the 9th. Remember that rain? The rain comes. 2-hour, 47-minute delay. Now, think about this delay. Why it's agonizing, not only is because this huge bet is on the line, but you know the whole time that when the rain delay happened, middle of the 9th, that in order to have a chance to win the game, you still have to get through the bottom of the 9th.
Sure, yeah.
So you're at a big disadvantage. And oh, by the way, Josh Hader had been warming up your closer. So in the back of your mind, you didn't want to acknowledge it. You're like, oh no, they're not going to be able to use him also. So you're just like, this is awful. By the way, probably the funniest moment of the 2-hour, 47-minute delay is this guy over here on my right. He doesn't know this. But Kelly Bidlin, who is still kind of like coming back from vacation mode, he's sort of like, hey, Gil, I'm just sort of getting ready for tomorrow's show. Have you looked at this Rocket Mortgage leaderboard? I mean, it is crazy. And I'm just like, no, I haven't, Kelly. But yeah, wow, that's pretty great.
You know what? I didn't want to address the baseball game yet because I actually did know it was in the delay.
It's like, wow, this is what a leaderboard. You should real. Oh my God! So I'm just laughing. Deborah Song Fashion Style says, "What are you laughing?" I'm like, "No, you wouldn't understand. Never mind." So, by the way,
I was thinking the worst possible for you. I was like, they're gonna push it to tomorrow or something. I have no idea how the books handle that.
Oh no, it wouldn't count. And yeah, by the way, the Astros could not have done that because the Mets would have won on the first tiebreaker of fewest losses with the same amount of wins. That's the first tiebreaker at Circa. Okay, while this is happening, I'm so preoccupied, I forget the Giants game starts. Giants go up 1-0, then 3-0, then 4-0. It's 9-0 by the end of the 4th. So the Giants are sloughing off the Dodgers 2-4 as they end up winning 10-4. Easy peasy. And then I'm thinking to myself, God, if the Astros don't win this, what a missed opportunity, because all the dead heaters left, with the exception of the Orioles, we can win outright at Circa. We can dead heat with just the Orioles at William Hill Caesars. You're scared of the resumption of the game. You're even more scared of the lack of the resumption of the game. So finally, it resumes. 2 hours and 47 minutes. Astros go down 1-2-3. It's not Bader. It's not Hader, by the way. It's Taylor Scott, and he does it. Then the Astros go up 5-4 in the 10th, but opening a leadoff double, RBI double for the Mets in the bottom of the 10th. It's 5-5. Nobody out, man on second. The in-game line is the Mets are -720. And somehow fate shined on us. J.D. Martinez strikes out. After the intentional walk to Alonso, Harrison Bader grounds out. Runners at second and third. A wild pitcher, a balk, will beat you. Dying, Mark Vientos grounds out. Sweet Lord Almighty, this might happen. Top of the 11th, just like the Dodgers made the Giants pay for it the day before in extra innings. Then the Giants intentionally, the Mets intentionally walk Yordan, just like the Giants the day before started that horrible 7-inning barrage by intentionally walking Shohei. Not saying they shouldn't have, but Yordan's on first, runners at first and second. Diaz single, Myers single, another single. It goes to bases loaded to 6-5, to 8-5. Three batters later, RBI double from Trey Cabbage, 10-5. It's over. Astros win by the same score, except for the fact that now that we've gotten through that chicanery, we beat the Mets, we beat the rain. Oh no, now the Orioles have to lose. The game's already started. Just like I forgot that the Giants game started. I was so wrapped up in this that the Rangers game started. It's scoreless after the first. Should I hedge? I haven't hedged yet. I'm not a hedger. I'm not going to hedge. Then the Rangers go up 2-0, then 2-1. Well, I should probably hedge here, right? Before I get a chance, the inning starts. The Rangers go up 5-1. By the way, when they're up 2-1, I looked for a +1.5 on the Orioles so I could try and get both. Didn't exist offshore. I was in California. Didn't exist. It was just a +1, so I didn't do it. Then they go up 5-2. The Orioles are +$3. I didn't do it then because I hadn't done it at any point. Why should I? Wyatt Langford started that three-run barrage with a triple. He later doubled in another three-run barrage to make it 8-2. Then he hit a three-run homer. He hit for the cycle. Rangers cruised. We win. Congratulations to all. Whew. I got my July play coming up later. Okay. July. Most wins. I'm doing it. I'm diving in again. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget to check out our website, VSIN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there. All there at VSIN. By the way, on the front page today, Zachary Cohen all over the place with his Wimbledon plays, women's and men's. Zach Cohen has just taken up all the real estate at VSiN.com this morning on the front page. Come on, Zach, give somebody else a chance.
There must be some writers on vacation too, Gil.
Steve Mackinnon is there with college football recruiting rankings. Matt Eumanns, early look at college basketball futures. Adam Burke, as always, with great stuff. Mike Somich, creating your own NFL power ratings for handicapping. Oh, that's good.
I started reading that, I think, last week a little bit. It was a good little write-up by Mike.
VSiN.com, check it out. That's real good stuff. Everything you possibly want. By the way, the other big thing about yesterday was I promised on Twitter, somebody asked me, will you reveal the name of the sushi restaurant if this happens? This was during the rain delay.
When did you do this, by the way?
This was on Twitter yesterday in the middle of the rain delay.
Just on Twitter yesterday?
Just on Twitter.
Okay.
Sometime after you asked me if I was watching the Rocket Mortgage leaderboard, and I was like, yes, I will. He asked specifically, will you do it at Bet Bash? And I said, I will do it during Bet Bash week. All right. So I will reveal the name of the sushi place. People have been so, so kind on Twitter at Beating the Book. I'm like super humbled by it. Kelly and I have such a great time every morning. By the way, let me just say also that Kelly has made this just a blast for me on an everyday basis in a way that it never has been before. But people are so nice. I'm just going to read some. There's no way I can read all because there's hundreds of these. But J.D. Emmons, our buddy, J.D. Emmons from Alabama, he says, you're making such great calls on these monthly bets. Baseball is such a great sport, but the season is such a grind. Love these month-long bets. No way you're not betting July, LOL. There is no way I'm not betting it. I will be revealing that here later in the show. P.D. Pay 1, amazing show content. Listen to yourself and Kelly on my everyday walks. Finally, a serious gambling show with advice and info, not just picks with no data to back them up. Keep up the good work. Thank you, sir. That's very nice of you to say. Michael at Mike Cam 4561, your monthly bets are quite the adventure. Great job. We've got to get lucky eventually, and here we did. Thanks for taking along the ride. I love all of your shows and podcasts. Thank you so much. That is very nice of you. This is from Game Time Jones. I have had zero action on any of your monthly bets. I'm in California, but have had a rooting interest and find myself checking standings each time. Such fun bets to follow. Thank you. That is also really nice. I-Y-A-O-Y-A, I don't know how to pronounce that, 6-9. I have fully enjoyed the tracking of your pick skills since MLB had started. I have zero options in Washington State for most wins. Your sweat is not only mine, but many listeners of A Numbers Game Army. Looking forward to see what you pick for July. We'll read through more of these. One more. Dale J. Matecki. Gil, thanks. You're such a joy to listen to every morning. I have a much better understanding of the numbers because of your show. How nice are people? And I just want to shout out Dave Ross and Will Hill. They were kind enough to have me on the look ahead last night, and they asked a few questions. And they were interesting questions. I'll get to the last one, which I think is the most interesting from a gambling standpoint. But one of them was, Will was like, "What do you think you'll remember, like, years from now about this whole thing?" And I said, "I'll remember the loss, the one out loss in March, April, more than I'll remember the win," without question. And Dave, that's just how our brains work.
Minds work, yeah.
Because this ends up winning me more than May would have, but still less than March, April would have. Still a nice hole.
Yes, yeah.
And Dave also asked, does this make up for it? Do the gambling gods, are you now even with the gambling gods because of this? And I said, we were at the Mets minus 720 in that extra inning. I get it. The Astros were left for dead. Does it completely make up for it? No, but I'm super grateful that we got a W.
I also don't know. I don't remember what we discussed in May. No, what was it? April, May, and then June, right?
Yeah. March, April.
March, April, then May. May and June. I don't remember what we discussed in May. But the Guardians early, you were betting every day. Have you done that ever? Have you done that all 3 months?
Not the first month. I did it every time with the Guardians in May. Yeah, towards the end of March, April, I started betting them every day. Not at the very beginning, but towards the end of March, April, then all of May, and then the Astros all of June. I mean, it's been an unbelievable baseball season. But you know, I said there was a world where we could have won all three. There was a world where we should have probably won two. There was also a world where we lost all three, right? And so Will asked the best question last night, I think. Well, Dave's questions were great, too. But Will asked, I think, the most poignant one, which is, what's the lesson? What's the big takeaway from all of this? And I think that's the best question, because for new gamblers or people who are newish to gambling, the process matters so much more than the result. And I know it's a win-loss results-oriented thing. I'm not saying the result doesn't matter, because ultimately the results are how you get graded on all of this, and it's your bank account, it's your bottom line. But from just a mental approach standpoint to it, we could have easily packed it in after March, April, and just been like, that was the worst soul-crushing beat ever. There's no way you can come back from that. But if your process, and whatever you does, we're just talking about monthly bets in baseball. If yours happens to be golf, if yours happens to be football, if yours happens to be certain markets within those sports, if your process is good, your ability to overcome negative variance, the degree to which you can do that in sports betting is going to go longer than almost anything towards your ultimate success or not. If you keep knocking at the door, right, the results will come. It's like a poker player. Skill can only take you to the, you know, can get you to the finish line. But at the end, you do need things to break your way. And so I think that's the biggest lesson in all that, is that process ultimately is the most important thing here. And again, to the extent you're able to overcome negative variance and just eat those bad beats and recognize it's just a part of doing business. And you will have to develop scar tissue for it. I'm not suggesting that you get that the first time, right? It's difficult even for the most veteran better. But I think that's the biggest takeaway from all of it for me anyway. Oh, that was a good question. Now, what about that Rocket Mortgage leaderboard? What was it that you wanted to
What's anything really big to talk about today? It was just all the guys yesterday scattered throughout it, or all the dumbos that I bet all the time that never win, and they were all just trying to choke the thing away to each other.
So explain, how did it go?
So Cameron Davis ends up winning. Good on him. I've bet him enough. That's for sure.
You bet him here?
No, I did not bet him. No, I didn't bet golf. I didn't bet golf at all.
You took a vacation.
I took a week off golf, so it was a good mental reset.
Oh wow, you really?
I believe Matt Brown had Davis Thompson and did end up finishing T2. Aaron Rye, I probably would have bet he finished T2. he should have won it. Akshay Bhatia, what do you have, 3-putt on 18 to lose the thing? Like, it should have at least gone to a playoff between Bhatia and Cam Davis. He 3-putted on and bogeyed to lose the thing to Cam Davis, who was already in clubhouse. So, yeah, Bhatia, Aaron Rye, Cam Davis, guy, Cameron Young. Oh boy. I mean, this guy, we've talked about the him not having one yet and all these second place finishes he's racked up. I mean, it was a T10 yesterday. He was three shots off the lead. Man, if you were watching that at all yesterday, though, he was going nuclear out there. He was missing short putts, and I think for the final six holes, he was just cussing himself out the entire time.
Oh my god!
Like, it was getting
can
really
you trust
ugly.
Him ever to make a bet on him ever again?
I never want to say ever again, but I think when you see something like that yesterday, you got to be like, all right, I got to back off this guy at least from an outright perspective. You got to back off for a little bit and see them get their mind straight. It depends golfer to golfer, right? Like, that's something is that it, yesterday that I would read into. What happened when we saw Xander come up just short of Scheffler early, you know, in the Masters? Like, there was nothing – to me, there was nothing with him that I was worried about going forward because we've seen Schauffele lose things so closely so many times before that I'm like, I don't really care about Schauffele. He's used to this. Cameron Young, that – it's gotten to him, clearly. It's problematic.
Didn't Batia also admit that he got nervous? Like, the nerves got to him afterwards?
I didn't catch post-round stuff, but stuff from last week he was talking about that last week because he was in the mix last week, but he was talking about how much he loves that. Like, he feeds off the pressure, but he gets nervous and stuff like that, and then he three-putts.
This on the heels of Rory gacking away the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
So that's just amazing to me. And it's not, of course, it's not, you know, no one's trying to tackle you. You don't have to do like a, you know, lunge for a ball in tennis and be athletic. I mean, it's athletic to a point, right? But it's literally you a stick and a ball.
I mean, Cameron Davis hit this shot on, what was it, 17, I think, is the par 5. It was great. Went in the water. And that was one where I didn't think he was going to be able to recover. All these guys, they couldn't make a shot, though. Nobody could hit a shot yesterday. I mean, he wins at 18 under. I think it was like at the turn where everybody was like, 21, 22 is probably going to get home. And it's like, nope, nobody could make a putt. Nobody could find a fairway. It was incredible.
I saw not a second of it.
It's a good example, though, of when we talk, if you ever listen to Long Shots, and we talk about win equity and some of these guys that can go out there and actually win a golf tournament. Now, how valuable that is.
Yes.
This is an example. I mean, Cam Davis, he's got two wins on the PGA Tour now. They've both come at this same turn. Corey Connors, same thing. Like, there are a couple of these guys you talk about this with. Aaron Rye still looking for that first one out of the PGA Tour. I thought Minwoo Lee was going to get his yesterday. He had his mistakes. Batia's picked up a couple wins. I don't want to knock him too much, but that was a bad 18 hole.
It's called Long Shots. Golf podcast, best in the world. Wimbledon futures next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, though, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. That's the rub. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199. Got to use promo code ANG for that. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG.
ANG, like a numbers game. The fine show you're listening to right now. That's by Gil Alexander.
That's 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I missed you tripping me up on them. I lied, everybody. Let me just say that. I said we were going to do Major League Baseball most wins in the month of July. But Dallin Cuff is joining us from ESPN, and we're pumped about that. So we'll do the July picks coming up. Dallin here to talk with us about soccer, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Dallin, good morning to you, sir. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, it's great to be with you, and you do not want me talking baseball because I don't know a damn thing. Yeah. Keep it on the pitch.
No, I will keep it on the pitch, but before we get to the pitch, college basketball is still your wheelhouse, of course. I just want to ask you two questions. One, was there a player in the draft where you're super-duper high on and you think a team really just got the best of the draft by drafting him?
Well, honestly, Dalton Konecko in 17, guys, was just shocking to me. So they got a guy that's the most refined offensive player in the game in that draft right now and come in and help them make shots, score at all three levels. Defensively, he's got to get better, but he's an elite offensive player. And I think the futures market that the NBA is obsessed with hurt him. It's 23, and that dinged him up. But he's going to be able to play for 10, 12 years in that league. And Devin Carter from Providence. There's two guys that are older. He's a 6'2 guard, 6'9 wingspan, rebounds, defends, hit 40% of his threes on six attempts a game. Those two guys, older guys that I thought were going to go in the top 10, did not. And I think they will end up being very good pros with a weaker draft. Maybe not all-stars, but very good pros for a long time.
The other college basketball question is, I have one future right now, Dallin, which is on Alabama, 18-1 to win it all next year. Should I add more is my only question.
Should you add more? Bro, wait till the full rosters are, like, locked. Like, they can still move a little bit here.
Oh,
so, like, I would say this month, I guess, you're pretty much done. When you hit about end of July, we're pretty much done. So you should be all right. And this is basically, I wait till about August, and I start calling coaches then to see, you know, how things bedded in. They've done their workouts in the summer, how things look. Because right now, there's just such a huge turnover. I can tell you teams that might be good, but really, until I start talking to the guys and you get them off the record, you get a better sense of where you're at, and then you get September, you start to go to practice, then you actually have a better real feel of what's happening, because there's just so much turnover now. They're real flyers right now.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I have back channels with Alabama, but that's fair enough from a general
good luck to your Alabama play. Don't let me poo-poo. I'm just saying I'm not doing it.
Okay, I appreciate that. All right, so we got two things going on. We got the Euros. We'll get to that momentarily. First, though, center stage tonight, Copa America, and specifically the United States of America. Three scenarios for advancing, Dallin. You know them all. None of them appealing. They beat Uruguay tonight. They win the goal differential tiebreaker if Panama beats Bolivia. Draw with Uruguay, hope Panama and Bolivia draw or Panama loses, or lose tonight against Uruguay, and then hope for lowly Bolivia to beat Panama and then win the goal differential tiebreaker. What happened here with the USA, and how do you think they'll do tonight?
Well, I mean, Tim Weah, that was a catastrophic mistake for a really talented young player that's going to be a starter for our U.S. team for years to come, and will be in the 2026 World Cup starting for our team, likely, regardless of who the coach is. Come back to that in a second. Because he's that talented, but you can't pop a guy in the face in today's, even if it's not even that aggressive. You can't do that in today's modern football. It will be seen on VAR, and you will get a red card, as he did. So he put his team behind the eight ball. I do respect the way the guys bounce back. I do think this team perpetually underachieves the talent they have relative to how they're set up, in a coach that continues to put them in a system that he says they have to play versus finding the best way to play for the players that he's been given. We've never had all 11 outfield players. All 10 outfield players playing in the top five leagues in Europe. We have that now. And these aren't just all guys on the roster. A lot of these guys, I mean, Anthony Robinson was the player of the year for Fulham, a Premier League club. Pulisic had the year of his life at AC Milan. McKinney was great at Juventus. And I can keep going down. These guys are integral parts of the clubs they play for, and we are not maximizing that talent. So that said, the red card is a problem. I'm not surprised this team is underperforming. I hate to say this, but I thought the silver lining coming into this, I said it before, if they crap out, we need to have a coaching change. We need to have a vision change. The problem is you have to trust U.S. soccer to actually make that decision. And since Sunil Gulati is no longer the president there, that organization has been a train wreck. So I have no confidence in that. And I do not have any confidence in winning tonight.
I kind of felt that was coming, Dallin, after that. Strong words about Greg Berhalter and USA soccer right there. All right. And I assume you think Panama gets the best of Bolivia as well on the other side today?
Yeah, I don't think Panama, like, this is a massive opportunity for them. Just a humongous opportunity. I don't think they let this slip through their fingers. I mean, they played well, guys, once they were up a man, especially. I mean, they gave up a goal, they bounced back, and they looked more threatening late in that game, and that's not surprising, up a man. I don't think they let that slip. I don't see us going through. I don't think this is purely an emotional hedge, but when I looked at the numbers, Uruguay plus 195 to win, a U.S. plus 155. I think on the three-way mark of the draw, it's like plus 220 or so in most markets. Like, for me to not play Uruguay here, and this is not purely just, like I said, not an emotional hedge. They are the superior team with, yes, they've pretty much already advanced. They know that. But this team is trying to build into their form with a striker in Darwin Nunez, who's better with the Uruguay jersey on than he is with Liverpool, needs to continue to play at a high level. I think this team wants to show the world, essentially, that they could be the best team in this hemisphere. And this is a big tournament for them. So I think that they're going to come out there and play. You know, they may make some changes to their lineup, but they're going to go out there and play, and they're a elite team that could win the whole competition. And they want to show that. And on U.S. soil, I think they're trying to make a statement. They're the better team here, and I think they're the better play. And I hope I do hope in some regard I'm wrong, because I love our young players and the guys on the field. I just don't think they are best set up to be successful. And against this team in this situation, with the eyes of the country on them, I'm not sure they're going to be able to overcome it.
Yeah. I am ready for soccer Twitter to lose their minds tonight. That is an inevitability.
Oh, you interrupted the other night. You saw that. I mean, it was Berhalter out. It was crazy right away. Right away.
I didn't know we had gotten to the point where all of our dudes were starting on top club teams in Europe. That is, that's a big deal. We've come a long way in the past 20
starting,
years.
We've come a long way. Maybe not everyone starting, but like I would say, if I go through the lineup the other night, it was pretty much 9 of the 11 starting. You know, Matt Turner, the goalie, was more – his situation was precarious through the course of the year, Nottingham Forest. But, you know, Chris Richards at Crystal Palace, Premier League club, and – you just keep running through them. Gio Reyna had an up-and-down season at Dortmund. He was one guy that wasn't starting consistently. But there's, by and large, we got guys that are playing in the top five leagues, and we just have never had that before at this level.
All right, Dallin, let's go to Euro 2024 with the time we have remaining, just a few minutes. Spain, Germany in one quarterfinal established, England, Switzerland in the other. So the cream now rising finally. We have a couple games today, a couple games tomorrow, a couple matches to determine the other quarterfinals. Today, any thoughts on Portugal and Slovenia and France and Belgium, which is the marquee matchup today?
Yeah, so with France and Belgium, guys, it's two of the most underperforming teams in the tournament. And France ending up finishing second, putting them on that left side of that bracket, really changed up the equation in terms of who could win and what we anticipated happening here. Belgium is a good value of plus 350 here, because they still are a really talented team that they do not tend to do well as the favorite. And the problem is they've been the favorite with this quote-unquote golden generation in almost every game since 2014. So this is a game where they are pretty significant underdogs. There's no pressure on them, no expectations. They got booed off the field in their last group game. The value is playing Belgium. I think you're probably going to see an under game here, minus 140 on a lot of boards, so you're getting a lot of juice there. You could play the under and maybe an under 1.5. This could be a 1-0 game, and then you get some value that way. But it's hard for me to just play France at essentially even money when I think that Belgium is such a value in this situation that draws a value as well, given the quality of the opponent and the fact that they both underperformed. It's a hard game to handicap, given that both teams have just been so off of what we thought they may be, particularly France, honestly.
And Lukaku still hasn't scored, right? Is that true? Still hasn't scored a goal?
He's put the ball across the line like 5 times, but they've been there's been VAR reviews, a different thing. So, like, they are creating chances. And, guys, Jeremy Doku, by the way, I haven't looked at the numbers of him to get an assist. That guy is freaking electric. And anybody watching the Premier League, every time he has the ball with City, especially when they're playing Arsenal, my heart is in my throat. Like, he is phenomenal. He had a great second game, really slow first game to start. He made the turnover, allowed them to get scored on in their own end. But he's a really, really talented young player that dynamite on that wing and playing balls in. I just think at some point they're going to break the dam here. But France is so structured, so solid, and so tough to break down. You did ask the other game, Portugal. I think Portugal has a bounce back performance. They were terrible against Georgia. That was a really poor showing, to say the least. I think they win this game. And I think if you could lay a goal and a half and get some value in that regard with this team that I think is going to – they're capable of really making a deep run here, and they took their foot off the gas. And that's a massive wake-up call against Georgia the other day.
Dallin, no, one-word answer, 5 seconds here. Who wins the Euro 2024 tournament?
Spain.
All right. Dallin, a pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
All right, guys. Be well.
Dallin Cuff from ESPN. College basketball analyst, but also loves the pitch. And kind enough of him to join us. We will do July. Most wins. Major League Baseball next, I promise.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D. That's Barcanada for those listening in Spanish, the Barrage. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This Dion Paris Naomi Osaka match, which we have the over 21.5 games in, and Paris winning it outright as a $3 dog. Osaka won the first set 6-1. Paris came back and won the second set 6-1. So we are in that rare situation where we could have a three-setter that mathematically could still fall under 21.5. Still unlikely, but just the fact that it's a possibility. Paris was up a break to start the third set, and then she just gacked away a game with two double faults, I believe. So it's 1-1 now on serve in the third set. still a possibility we could lose or win both, believe it or not, on that. And then you have a Dallin Cuff update. We had one other play he wanted to get.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're still going to be on the air if Osaka rips off five straight games here. That would be pretty bad for you.
Oh, she ain't doing that. Why? Because Dion Parry's going to get it done.
Let's go, Diane.
Diane Parry.
Yeah, Dallin texted me afterward. He did say his favorite bet left in the tournament is Austria at plus 750 to make the semis.
Okay.
I believe that's a current number he's talking about. Says path is great now with how the bracket broke out. Wouldn't even mind a bet to make it to the finals. And they will face Turkey tomorrow.
That's right. Turkey tomorrow and then the winner of Romania and the Netherlands. The Dutch. Holland.
Yeah. So that would be the quarters then. Yeah, to get to the semis. And right. then they play England, Switzerland winner there.
Oh, did I get that wrong?
No, you're good.
You're right. I'm wrong. They would have to beat Turkey. Right. Turkey.
We got it right.
We got it right.
We got it right. Turkey today. Then the winner of Romania, Netherlands. You would cash your bet if you made it to the semis, but where they would play England or Switzerland.
Correct. We got it right. Okay.
We did soccer. We got soccer.
Soccer done right here on a numbers game. All right. It's that time. After coming one out away from hitting the Guardians in March, April at 65-1. After being two games shy of hitting them, the Guardians, that is, at 16-1 in the most wins in May, and now on the heels of hitting the Astros, most wins in the month of June at 17-1 at Circa, and then dead heating at 25-1 at William Hill Caesars. It is now the month of July. Only three games today. It is a month that, yes, has 31 days, but remember, has an all-star break in the middle of it. So the first thing we do is look at the number of scheduled games for all teams. Now, remember, last month, let's do the scheduled games first, guys. Last month, what happened with that is, in the 30-day month of June, the Orioles had 29 games scheduled. 29 was the most. And remember I said when the Astros got to them, the Orioles would have played 19 games in 20 days. And so maybe they caught them. They would catch them at the right time. And in fact, I don't know if that was part of it, but they swept them. So that was huge for the Astros. The fewest games in the month of June was the Mets at 24. Five fewer scheduled games than the Orioles. The Astros had the second fewest at 25. So that didn't dissuade me from playing the Astros despite that deficit in scheduled games. Here's how it looks in the month of July. The Mets, with an all-star break still. Besides the all-star break, the Mets, who had the fewest games scheduled in June, they have a game scheduled in every non-all-star break day that there is.
What?
27 games. 27 games. You'll see four teams have 26, Toronto, Atlanta, Washington, Colorado. Most have 25 in the month of June. A whole bunch have 24. And then the Royals and Twins only have 23. And the Padres have the fewest, five fewer than the Mets scheduled in the month of June. The Padres only have 22 games scheduled in the month of June compared to the Mets' 27. So that's the first thing you should be aware of. And once again, in June, it's just a tool in your handicapping. It should not ever be the end-all, be-all. As again, I played the Astros, who had the second fewest games last month with 25. All right. So I'm not letting it dissuade me this month either. Let us show. Can we show the graphic? No, let's go to the one, guys, where it has the numbers with the run differential and that schedule. If we could go to that next. What I then look for is, all right, the collection of opponents that a team plays, that any given team is playing. What is, in fact, that collective run differential? And the team I landed on was this one. Bam! The Kansas City Royals. The Kansas City Royals, look at this schedule. They are playing teams, respectively, with minus 56, minus 142, minus 40, one plus number at 30, that's the Red Sox, then minus 162 again, minus 13, minus 30, minus 162, run differential teams. So, no surprise that the minus 162 represents six games against the White Sox. The minus 142 is three games against the Rockies. That's nine of their 23 games. Was it 23 games? Nine of their 23 games are against, collectively, the White Sox and the Rockies, the bottom feeders of Major League Baseball. But they've also got a bunch of sneaky overperformers like the Rays and the Cardinals at minus 56 and minus 40, whose records are far better than they ought to be based on Pythag, and in the case of the Rays, Pythag and sequencing both. So the Royals really have the best of the schedule in the month of July. But that's not all. The Royals do a bunch of other things that are really good, including that are not really obvious to the eye when you take in baseball on a day-to-day basis, but that's where advanced stats always help us out. And that is, they do really great as a defensive team. They're really good on the base paths. There's a whole bunch of little things they do well. And oh, by the way, when you do look at the overall Major League Baseball standings and you look at something as simple as run differential, well, you're familiar with teams like the Orioles and the Yankees that have north of 100 plus 100 run differentials, or the Guardians are right below that at plus 98, the Phillies at plus 121, and the Dodgers at plus 119. But guess who's next? Guess who's next? That would be the Brewers and the Royals. So the Royals are right there as well. They are a team that is every bit as good as their 47-39 record. They ought to be a tick even better than that. So this is a team that has sort of flown under the radar. They didn't have a good June. No one's really thinking about them. And so now we can put up the odds, guys, if you want to do that. These are their current numbers. Now, I got the Royals last night when I cashed my circa bet on the Astros. I got them at 17-1. Now, I moved it at circa, so I apologize when I did that. But at Caesars, they're still 15-1. At circa, they're 10-1 here in Nevada. Again, I apologize for that. But they are 15-1 at Caesars. The Kansas City Royals, who are, well, we're showing 17-1. Are they back to 17-1 at
circa? No, I took these up last night. Bet it afterward.
I bet it at 17-1. Yeah, that's what I got. So it's 10-1 now. But 15-1 at Caesars. So the short shots in this market remain some of the usual suspects. The Orioles, the Mets, again, with the most games and a fairly easy schedule coming up in this month. The Guardians, once again, are in there as always. The Braves are at 10-1. The Dodgers are at 11-1. Even the Astros, at least last night, were shorter than the Royals, as were, the Brewers and the Mariners and the Cardinals were just a tick longer than the Royals. So that's the play for the month of July. The Kansas City Royals, who I have at 17-1, as opposed to last month where I bet two times the amount at Caesars and so one unit, if you will, at Circa and then two units at Caesars William Hill, I bet all three units this time at Circa. Part of that thinking is this. Now, last week there was a big discrepancy between the numbers on the Astros. The 25-1 was at William Hill Caesars, and it was 17-1 at Circa. So I ended up playing twice the amount at William Hill Caesars, and that part was the one that got dead heated. Here, the Circa number was actually a tick better. It was 17-1 versus 16-1 at the time. And so for me, the rules of Circa were the deciding factor in why I placed all of it at Circa, which is, again, what it has been for all 3 months before this. Circa has a tiebreaker. Fewest losses is number one. Best run differential is number two. William Hill Caesars dead heats everything. When you play a team, and this is where the schedule number of games is sort of a contrarian thinking on this, because most people will look at this and they'll immediately go, well, the team that plays the most games has the most opportunity to win games, and so you got to look at those teams. You got to gravitate towards the teams that have the most scheduled games. I look at it a little more contrarian, and this is what I did last month as well. The odds difference still didn't make me put most of it at Circa, but in this case, I put all of it at Circa because the numbers were actually almost equal. Even Circa was a tick better. And the reason is because I'm playing a team with fewer games. Like the Astros last month, I'm playing the Royals, who have the second fewest games in the month of July. And when you have on the fewer side of games, you want the tiebreaker of fewest losses. Because if you can just keep up with folks in the win column, you will automatically win the tiebreaker just by virtue of the fact that you're playing fewer games. So you've got to still play good baseball, right? Got to still play good baseball. But inherent in that, built in, you're going to win the tiebreaker, which we did with the Astros. There it is. Kansas City Royals. Your most wins in July pick from a numbers game. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up.